Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I'm so glad that you're tuning in. But like we do every night, I want to dedicate this song to all of you out there right now that know that you are the treasure. God bless you.
From the day I was born,
everyone out there. This is Minister Jay Miller again. Tonight, I just want to dedicate another song, a song that myself and one of my brothers, Mr. Shane Fatboy Wilson, a little song we wrote, a little praise melody. I hope you enjoy it. And just stay tuned until after the song, where we'll go in to the rest of our topics and issues on Dirty Church Radio.
That lives in me, will unlock the door of victory. Have faith and believe and receive everything.
people have tuned in to Dirty Church Radio. It's a blessing. We appreciate and thank God for giving us the vision to actually start the show where people can have a platform regardless of the issue or the topic, but that they can share, they can release some of the things that they've been holding in, some of the issues and the things that's been, you know, weighed down on their hearts. Sometimes you can't get rid of it until you confront those things, talk about it. And that's what Dirty Church Radio, we are here for you to drop seeds of thoughts into the dirt on Dirty Church Radio so we can see what will grow. And we pray that the end of whatever grows, that it will be something positive and something useful that mankind can use to better himself, that he could be a better father, or she could be a better mother, a better daughter, a better brother, better uncle, brother, aunt, niece, nephew, grandchild, whatever, however you want to look at it. On Dirty Church Radio, we want to deal with issues, confront circumstances, whatever it is, that we can better ourselves, that we can sharpen ourselves, so that we can get ourselves together and accomplish the assignments that God has given us and realize who we are, look in the mirror, and find our true identity. And when we find our true identity, that's when we find what our purpose is. And I believe that tonight will be the part two of a very interesting topic that we had last night, and it's dealing with surviving the fears of the mind. Surviving the fears of the mind. Whoever is out there listening live right now, whether you're a minister, a pastor, it's not even about titles or position, but whoever you are, we really would love tonight for you to call in and share in on this discussion, dealing with surviving the fears of the mind. We all go through different things in life, and we all have felt or experienced different traumas that have created fears that turned into phobias. And a lot of those phobias keep us stuck, keep us in prison, in a reality or a world of fear. And it hinders us from receiving the full benefits of life because we're blocking ourselves with these fears. And there's so many fears. I can't name the fears that all mankind has, but different ones that call in who experience or go through these different trials. We want to hear from you. So tonight, please call in at 773-897-6319. 773-897-6319. Tonight, I believe a few of our hosts are running late. Our Apostle Louis Young and our brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate Spradley. There are a few pastors or a few ministers that I've asked to come on here, but yet they haven't called in yet. So I'm hoping that they can free their schedules up and make time to come on Dirty Church Radio. And I believe it'll be a blessing. I believe this is a great forum for us to come on here and discuss some things. There's so much stuff that we can talk about just dealing with life in general. You know, there's a lot of people right now who are still without power, who are still without the different necessities that they need to survive. And you know, some people are panicking. You know, some people, you know, and they're feeling the pressure of this. And the pressure of this type of stuff creates fears, different fears in the mind, fears. And I believe, you know, as being a child of God, I believe this is, in times like this, this is times that you must trust in God. But I know there are a lot of you out there who might not even believe in God. But I believe that through all this stuff, these storms and things like this, it lets man know that there is something greater than you. And with all of your knowledge and with all of your technology, it's nothing that you can do at this point in time to stop those things from happening. You have to respect the power behind it. And me as a believer, me as a man of God, me as a child of God, I believe through faith and in my heart that the source behind it all is God Almighty. He has all power in his hands. He created everything that exists. That's what I believe. I believe right now, me even breathing, as I'm breathing and I'm on this line and I'm talking, I exist right now because of God. There's no other reason that I exist. I exist because him. I am his creation. He created me. And yes, there are many things that I can't explain or give a direct answer to or give you tangible evidence of how God looks or show you right now and put God in your hands so you can feel and touch him. But I can just say like this, if you want to see God, look at his creation. Look at man, who he made in his image. Look at the trees. Look at everything that exists. God's hands touched it. It created it. In the very breath that you breathe, you are breathing God. That breath, that oxygen that we take in is God. He created it. We exist off of it. And I believe that God deserves his true recognition. And I believe the season that we're living in, God is showing mankind that he is God. And there's none greater. There's no man greater than God. There is no idea greater than God. There is no invention greater than God. And I believe one day man will see that. And one day man will come to the conclusion that there is a God. I know a lot of different confusions and different things happen once we get in the midst of the perception of God. And through man, we all have different perceptions of God. That's how different beliefs and different customs and traditions start, through man's perception. But our different perceptions and our different things we disagree on doesn't change the fact of what God is, who he is, and the power that he has. He has all authority. So our disagreements doesn't change his authority. It still exists. It still exists. His authority of who he is. And God is great, and I believe he is worthy to be praised. Tonight's topic, again, I'm going to say, is the fears, surviving the fears of the mind. Part two, surviving the fears. The fears of the mind. It's a few scriptures that I want to read tonight. I want to read, it's one scripture right here that really blesses me. It's Philippians 2 and 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's what we must begin to do, take on the mind of Christ. Because when we take on the mind of Christ, it helps block the fears that might try to enter into your thought pattern to create a world surrounded by fear. And God has not given us this spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and of a sound mind. And right now, I'm going to let a caller on that just called on. Hold on. What's going on, caller? How you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good, man. Good, man. How's everything?
Everything's doing good.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you for calling into Dirty Church Radio, man. This is a show where whatever the issue, whatever the topic, man, we're willing to talk about it. And tonight is a part two of this series dealing with surviving the fears of the mind. And I know there might be some fears that you've dealt with throughout your life or that you might even be dealing with right now. And there's some fears that you survived because you made it from one point to this point. So tonight we just want to talk about surviving these fears. How do we live with these fears that constantly try to attack our thoughts to keep us trembling or to keep us stuck in a place where we won't go forward, where we won't fulfill our purpose in life because we're afraid, and the fear has created a whole nother world within our mind, and we begin to be bound by the rules of that world that fear has created. And Carl, I just want to know, you calling in tonight, what type of fears would you say that you've dealt with in your life?
As far as fears, I will just basically say, you know, it's a common fear, you know. Most people and myself, I know I've dealt with, you know, as far as growth and, you know, and change, you know, that's like a big part of everything, you know, leaving everything that you know to start from scratch over. And it pretty much, you know, it takes a toll on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just dealing with the whole process, it could be, you know, a little bit, you know, too much at the time. But you know,
okay.
You know, praying and all that, you know that it does justice, but you know, but you still dealing with flesh at the end of the day too as well. So
yeah.
It puts you in a an uncomfortable environment sometimes.
So it's kind of like it's a fear going into an unfamiliar place.
It's not too much of the going to a new place, but it's just leaving what you're used to.
Leaving, wow. Because what you're used to is a comfortable place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so going to a new place is a place of like not knowing if you're going to have that comfortable feeling that you left. You know what I'm saying? So it is kind of like the unfamiliar, not knowing what's beyond the mountain, or you know, not knowing what's over that and like back. How can I, am I going to be able to survive there? I don't know nobody in this new place. Because sometimes a new place at first can seem very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're leaving everybody or everything that you know. So now you're going to a place that doesn't know you and you don't know it. So now you feel by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're by yourself alone, that gives room for you to think all different type of thoughts. And I believe sometimes fear likes to have a person in that position. Fear likes to try to get you by yourself where it can flood and clutter your mind with all different type of thoughts, negative thoughts about the decisions that you've made or about the decisions that you're about to make.
Uh-huh.
To keep you from going to that blessed place or going to that place of promise or you know what I mean, or just searching out. And that is one form of fear, man. That is one form of fear that people deal with, I mean, all the time. But I believe in God, And I know all the listeners out here are not Christians. They may be Muslims, they may be Buddhists or whatever, but I believe even in every religion or everything that everyone is connected to, there is some type of form of fear that you face every day. You know what I mean? You face it. Listen, some people face it. You deal with the thoughts of, am I going to be here tomorrow, of death, not knowing what death is like. When am I going to die?
I don't want to die. Not to cut you off, but you talking about, you know people fearing about dying. And, you know, the crazy thing is people fear hell and the devil more than they fear God.
Yeah.
That's another crazy thing. Like, they worry so much about hell but not focusing on God, the person that wakes us up every day.
It's something that you said, that caller, because we had an episode. If you was to go into our archives, I mean, our archives of shows, you would see that we had a show, I believe it was October 3rd, I believe. But anyway, the name of the show was, Do You Fear Hell More Than You Fear God? That was the topic. Do you fear hell more than you fear God? And I believe a lot of times it is the fear of the consequence that gets people. The fear of, you know, damnation. Not just damnation, but eternal damnation. To feel being tortured forever, eternally. Just to even think that thought in your mind is like, wow, it's overwhelming. Like, if you ever felt any pain, if you ever burnt yourself with a match or a lighter, or you felt any burn, or you felt any pain, a cut, a stab, if you think about the worst pain that you ever felt in your life, can you imagine that pain existing forever without no ease? It's constantly that pain. Just the thought of that, man, is wow. That's something to fear. And that could play a strong weight on your life just with that thought. That's why I do believe in God. We should focus more on loving God and heeding his word and using his word as a mirror for us to clean, for us to clean our lives up. He shows us. He's our map. He's our mirror. He reveals to us who we are and what he expects from us. And he shows us how ugly we can be when he measures his word up to the way that we're living our lives. So when we look in his word and then we compare our lives to that mirror, it gives us a chance to be better. But a lot of times we stay away from the mirror. And the longer, the more you stay away, or the further you stay away from the mirror, the more you think you look good, or the more you think that there is no problem, the more you think that there is no issues that you have. But God's word is what exposes the shadows that are in your life, those hidden things that no one else knows about, those things that you don't want to deal with and that you don't want to confront. It will expose those hidden fears that we hold on to. You know, some of us were raised in broken homes. We were abused. And those are fears that we've created, and we build these defensive mechanisms in our lives because we're really trying to protect the fears that we've been holding in. And we don't want to become vulnerable, and we don't want to deal with that issue because it hurts too much. You know what I'm saying? And that's a different level of different fears, man. But I believe, yo, the only way to really truly conquer fear is to confront it and face it, not to actually hide from it. or, you know, I believe that we must confront the fear head on. There are some issues, you call it, that you probably have in your life that everything may be good right now. You know, you may have a job. You may be able to pay your bills. You know what I mean? You may be able to, you know, do a lot of things that your heart desire. But there still may be some issues in your life that you haven't confronted, that you moved past and forgot about, but was never dealt with. And those are the things that seem to stick their head up out of nowhere, because we never cut the root out of the ground. We never dealt what was at that root. We just kept moving on. But I believe, yo, this is a season in our lives now that we really need to start dealing with some stuff that we've been avoiding. What do you have to say about that?
You know what you just said. You know, it is true, and I do agree with that. And you know, just as men, period. You know, fears do play a toll in our lives. You know, men is known as being the breadwinner, you know, bringing in the money, taking care of the family, different stuff like that. And, you know, some you know, men, you know, really try to live up to that. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff, you know, dealing with fear. You know, it's a spiritual, you know, or it's a natural earth that we live in. It goes a long way, you know, dealing with fear and just certain things. And like you said, you know, growing up in broken homes and stuff like that, you know, you got some that grew up without the dad's house or vice versa, without a mom's house. And you got some men that has the fear of, if they're not doing everything the right way, or not even the right way.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm talking through my phone with Spirit.
Oh, you're talking right on the phone, right? It's not on the speakerphone,
yeah.
Is it?
No, okay. It's not on speakerphone.
Okay.
I hear the echo though.
Okay. Do you have the computer on?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
The fear of, well, I'm gonna say for myself. I live in a totally different state. You know, I have a son that lives in another state. And I make sure I do what I have to do as far as sending money, buying clothes, getting him certain holidays, stuff like that. But growing up, I wouldn't say I had a how can I put this?
Be honest. This say this is Dirty Church Radio.
Parenting skills, I would say like that. I don't think it was all the way there. So it's a choice of my own, like, of what I think and what I do know of. And stuff like, I can't really explain it, but.
So what you're trying to say is you're doing the best you know how to be a parent, but you kind of believe there are some things that you may be lacking in the experience part of, because there were some things that lacked in your life, or some things that you missed out when it comes to being parented.
Mm-hmm. And it just all goes back. It's like it all goes back because you know a lot of people what they do they blame their parents. I'm not doing that, but because you know everybody has issues.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say one person. They blame their parents for not being there, but when their parents wasn't there too at the same time. So it's like, it's a cycle.
Wow. That's something, man.
You know, it's a cycle.
That's deep. You know what? On your line right here, I'm making a call right here. Hopefully the caller will answer. It'd be great if they will. Hopefully they will answer. We're making a call here.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Showtime? This your brother Jay right here, man.
This who?
This Jay, man. What's good?
Jay, what's up with you, Jay?
Hey, yo, man. Listen, man. You live on the air right now, bro.
What's happening with you?
I'm just calling you real quick just to ask you a quick question, man. Tonight's topic is dealing with surviving the fears of the mind. And we're talking about different fears that people deal with in their everyday life and how do they function with those fears. And how do those fears, are the fears hindering them? You know, would people be further in their lives if they was able to confront some fears and conquer them? Or do they hold on to fears to the point where the fears become phobias in their life and they become stuck and stagnant and not really ever able to accomplish the things that they should based upon fear?
Well, it's interesting because fear is a two-way thing. If you don't watch it, it can be a twofold. It can serve as a twofold thing. Fear can serve as a crutch to some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To keep them in a certain place, and or fear can serve as a, you know what I mean, as a thing to catapult people into the next level of their life. So it depends. You know what I'm saying, on how it's looked at and how it's perceived and how it's embraced. You know what I'm saying? Even though, you know, but you should be fearful of something. You know what I'm saying? You should have a sense of fear. Like, you should fear that if you drive off of a bridge that you might die. You should fear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You should fear that if you point a gun at a person and you pull the trigger and it's filled with bullets, you should fear that it's a good chance that you might get hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So fear can be used to the good and to the bad. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, even though God says we have to give us the spirit of fear, but there, even with that, there's a caution to it.
Yeah.
There's a caution to it. You know what I mean? But definitely, I definitely think that, you know, we could, you can definitely learn a lot just from facing your fears, though.
Yeah, from confronting it.
Yeah, being able to confront your fears, because being able to confront them, if you confront your fears most of the time, I mean, because a lot of times every fear is not meant to be conquered all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't believe that every fear is always meant to be conquered. Like, think about this. You say God's not a God of fear, but we should fear God.
Yeah. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
You understand what I'm saying? But it says he's not a fire, but we shouldn't fear. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
You got it. That's where that fear of the two-way street comes in that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Like some things you should, some things you shouldn't, but then it's like you got to be a fear comes with moderation.
Wow. Let me ask you this, sir. The different fears, even with you and whatever, you know, your career, what you do, I know there were probably moments of that fear tried to, like, attack you, And if you would have, like, gave into it, you might have not had accomplished a lot of the things that you accomplished.
Oh, yeah, true that. I mean, with that, it's like, it's kind of crazy because, you know, like, you should have, like I said, once again, that's where the fear, where you should have a little bit, and then there's no fear at all. Some situations you go into, you should have no fear about it because you already know. Some situations you should have a little fear so that you won't do the on it. Because a lot of times people go into situations with no fear and then they wind up doing the da 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 da.
So would you say that it's better that you use fear than fear use you?
Yes. You should use fear as a tool. It shouldn't use you.
Wow. That's something right there. That's something right there. And you know what? Yesterday, man, this is the part two segment of this show. And yesterday, you know, different ones were just, you know, just talking about different fears, like some, you know, the fear of hell. You know what I mean? And does the fear of hell outweigh the love that you may have for God or whatever God you serve?
Most of the time, it's so crazy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but most of the time, fear really is really basically the unknown.
Yeah. Or the known. You see, it's two-way again there because...
That's a two-way sword.
Yeah, because like as you said, even in that,
it's still the unknown because you don't really know the outcome.
Yeah.
So that automatically makes you, because you've seen people, like, you know, even though you've seen certain situations, and, like, if you have it more times seen it go a certain way than not, you know what I'm saying? If you see it go a situation, like, if you've seen, like, more times, like, 9 times out of 10, it go a certain way, it goes a certain way.
Yeah.
Your fear most likely is going to be like, yo, I might go that way too.
Yeah.
You automatically going to feel it and be like, yo, I'm not going that way.
Yeah. Like if somebody pulled a gun out, you know what the possibility or the chances of what happened to others with the gun.
Exactly.
Now if it's pulled at you, the fear of not knowing what's going to be the result since it was pointed at you.
Right.
This time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the thing. And then the thing about it, though, it does go to the unknown because mainly when someone pulls the gun, the first thing you think about is death. And death is a place, the unknown. You don't know what it's like. You know what I'm saying? So that's what creates the fear. And then the fear of not seeing your loved ones again, the fear of, you know, not experiencing the joys of life that you experienced here. And to think about all of those things creates a whole nother fear.
Right. That's where the trickle-down effect comes into play, with the fear.
Yeah.
It's the double-edged sword. It's the double-edged sword of it.
Wow.
Double-edged sword. But remember, fear can be used as fuel for strength. And that's what I choose to do. That's, you know, it's a choice in it on how you use it. Because it wasn't that David wasn't, in the Bible, wasn't that David wasn't afraid of Goliath and wasn't afraid of giants.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that he wasn't afraid because he know what giants do and he's seen what it's done before.
But he loved God more than he was afraid.
Then he feared Goliath. That's right. He loved God more than he feared Goliath. It didn't say he didn't fear him at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something right there. That's something right there. And while we're on right here, I'm going to let another call on here. I think this is Mr. What's going on, caller? Hello?
Oh, I'm staying muted, Jay. I'm listening.
Oh, you're going to stay muted? Oh, all right. I thought you was. All right. Yo, you know who that is right there, right, on the line?
Is that Bashir?
Yeah, yeah. Who's this? Who's that?
Yeah, ain't it somehow like you come on the air and people know who you are? Like live
yeah.
on the air, like your voice is known.
Ain't that something?
Yeah. Well, yo, since you on the line, man, ain't no reason to mute. We talking about surviving the fears of the mind. And this is the part two segment.
Okay,
so, all
right. I'm listening.
You said you're listening?
Yeah, you know, I ain't going to mute. I'm just listening. Go ahead. I'm here.
All right. Just making sure, man. So if you want to say something on this topic, you're more than welcome, man. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
But the reason why this is a show that I was making calls and I want people to call in is because I can only talk about my fears, but there are many fears that exist in mankind that we all deal with and all that we survive or we've conquered. And the only way to truly get insight on that is for others to actually talk about some of those fears. Or what are you feeling with, or what do you fear now, and how do you deal with it? How do you handle it? You know what I mean? To help someone else, you know, deal with what they might be dealing with, even though it's not the same fear, but it is fear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And just like before you called in, you know, they was talking about, you know, some people, fear death, fearing the unknown.
Right.
You know, an unfamiliar, thing. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, man, especially, and I know all the listeners out there are not Christians. They all may believe different things, but I'm just going to speak from being a Christian, being a child of God from that angle. Even in my faith, even in reading the word and hearing the word from God, you can, and when you're dealing or living in this life, you get attacked by different fears because you hear the word, but when it's time for you to trust the word that you read because you're in a heated situation and you feel that situation, you actually feel the pain of that situation in your life. A lot of times it gets kind of hard to believe the word when you're feeling the pain.
That's so true. You're right.
If you understand what I'm saying. And even though you want to believe the word, but you want that pain to go away. So now fear starts creating a whole nother world inside of your mind. And then you have to ask yourself, am I going to live my life based upon the rules of that world that fear is creating, or I'm going to hold on to what God's word is saying? Even though I'm holding on to God's word, but my heart is pounding out my chest right now, and I'm feeling this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared. This fear, like I'm feeling this fear right now. So I'm going to fall back because I don't know where this fear or this thing that I'm fearing is going to take me.
Right. Now that's the thing. There's a difference between being scared and being fearful. There's two different things.
You said it's different than being scared.
I think there's a difference in being scared and being afraid. Like,
I know what this is. I know exactly what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, give me an example.
I think that, like, you know, when you go to a haunted house, you are scared. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You're scared. But when you embark on things in life, it's a different type of fear. Two different, because they feel different. Think about it. Being scared and being fearful feels really different when you really think about it. It doesn't feel the same.
Mm.
Like, in other words, being terrified or something?
But you know what? Fear, though, fear is a behavior that really makes you want to escape or avoid something.
You know what it is? Fred is the, scare is the brother of Fred.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is. Scare is the brother of Fred.
Well, last night we did a definition of fear. And it said, fear is an emotion induced by a perceived threat.
Yeah.
Fear is an emotion induced by a perceived threat.
That's is that Webster's definition?
I think if you want me saying
no, the encyclopedia definition.
Right. Now, do you have the encyclopedia? If you're right there, can you look up scare?
All right, hold on. I'm about to look him up right there too. Right now. Webster says thrown into or being in a state of fear, fright, or panic. Yeah, it's still fear. It still comes from that.
Right.
No. Go back to what you said now. Read the definition of what fear is, right? And then read the definition of what scary
fear
is.
Fear is an emotion induced by a perceived threat.
Okay, now go to what scared is. Remember I said scared is the brother of Fred.
Thrown into or being in a state of fear, fright, or panic.
Right.
Example,
right.
I am really scared about speaking in front of the class. He was scared that his mother wouldn't let him go to the movies with his friends.
Right. He's
scared to walk alone at night.
Right.
I'm gonna type this other one in.
Fear, would you consider fear being more something about the unknown and scared being something more about the known? Wow.
It could be.
You understand what I'm saying? Because we said that earlier about things that are unknown. Most of the time are fearful, and the things that you're scared of, you kind of know.
Like if you was in the woods. If you was in the woods at night, right, and you heard the bushes move, right, fear would kick in because you will probably think of things that it possibly could be, but you won't know what it is. But you would think of probably the worst thing in your mind of what it could be in the woods or in the bushes. And that's
right.
A form of fear, too. Like, you won't know
exactly
what it is, but it's the possibility of what it could be.
But now, here we go. Prime example. You see a snake on the ground.
Uh-huh.
You become scared because you know that snake gonna bite you.
Or could bite you.
Or it's a possibility that it could bite you. So now you're a little more panicked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the knowingness. That's
mm-hmm.
deep. So you're more scared of what you know than but you're more afraid of things that you don't know.
You know something?
That's deep.
Fear has a big part of playing what is about to happen in the future. Like, fear comes in your mind and your heart about something you think is about to take place in the future. Whether it's a second later or a minute later.
No, fear and faith kind of go hand in hand, dog. it's a real close thing, fear and faith.
Well, fear.
Because both of them are unknown.
But fear would keep you from having faith.
Fear would keep you from having faith. Fear is the enemy of faith.
Yeah, I would say so.
Fear is definitely the enemy of faith.
It could be a great enemy.
No, it is the enemy.
It says, I'm gonna read this thing right here. It says, "Fear."
Because your fear, your fear can switch your faith. Fear can alter your faith.
Wow. Because you know something, it's almost like saying this: if you went over to another country and you were standing for Christ, and they said, who do you believe in? But you know over there they're killing people who, if they mention Jesus, and you were supposed to be a believer, and you go over there and you looking down the line and they're cutting heads off of people that are saying they stand for Christ. Now it's your turn. And you're supposed to be a person of faith. Fear would make you deny if you let it. Fear would make you deny what you profess that you believe.
Yes.
So AJ, let me ask you a question. So would that be the same as fearing the Lord? Because fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge.
Yo, the fear of the Lord, you know what? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to look at that too, right? We're going to go to that scripture too. I got to read this scripture where it talks about don't fear the person that could do harm to your body. And I'm just paraphrasing.
Right.
But fear the one that can cast you into hell and that can do harm, like, to your spirit, man.
Okay, here's a question. Okay, like, remember you just posed the question of if you're in a camp and they're like, yo, if you love God, you'll die,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, if you deny God in that moment and live, isn't that the start of wisdom?
Yo, you know what that is?
That's deep,
the common
right?
sense, the common sense of the matter would be that way. But let's just say like this, and this is Dirty Church Radio. Let's say
right.
like this. You over there on the you over there in another country, right? And you saved, and you got Christ, and you preaching, or you doing whatever you're doing. And they say, and they put the gun to your head, and they say, lay with that man, or we're going to kill you.
But that's different. That's different. That's different.
No. What I'm saying is, it's still an act. If you do it, you're trying to live, or the fear of dying. So
no, no, no,
it,
no, no, no. Verbal act of the mouth, verbal of the mouth, and actual physical act is two different things.
Well, no. How can it be? Because it takes you.
Because
to
listen,
with your
no. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That's with your mouth to be saved.
Wait a minute.
So
wait a minute.
Powerful.
Wait a minute. Jesus did a physical thing. It wasn't just verbal. Watch yourself now, Reverend. Watch yourself.
No, explain yourself.
Jesus did a physical deed. Even though he said all those things that he said, it wasn't until he died physically that any of those things came to even fruition.
But it was the word. All he did was fulfill what the word, what his
no,
body had already spoken.
The fulfillment didn't come until a physical thing happened.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Listen. I can say to you, I'm going to send you a check. 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 I'm going to send you
when
a
you
check.
When you send a check, that's when it becomes a reality.
Until I send the check physically, and she call you and say the check is in the mail, I sent the check.
All
the
right.
The debt is paid. The physical of it.
So
that's where, that's, but.
So if you say that for God I live and for God I die, and you're professing Christ and you're professing his word, you trust him, You live for him. You have faith in him. And now someone comes to you with a gun, and they point the gun at you, and they say, "Lay with that man." Like, go. This gun is going to make you go against.
I'm about to mess your head up real quick.
No, what you stand for. Now listen. Now, you choose.
Because standing is a physical thing.
Hold up. You choose to actually lay with the person based on your fear that went against your faith.
No. Now, wait a minute now. That's a moral issue, though. That's a moral issue. Like, okay, because the question you're posing is saying lay with this person. If you personally just don't lay with people, you're like, yo, listen, I'm not doing that. I'd rather die than to do that. That's just your personal thing.
No, what I'm saying.
But if you're asking me to stand up and say, if you're saying, if a person is like, if you're going back to the original statement of saying, yo, if you love God or if you don't love God, you would say this or I'm going to kill you. If you're going back to that, then it's more, because like you said, standing, like for God I live and for God I die, that right there is all physical. That's physical. That's not a verbal thing. We say it verbally, but you're supposed, if you live for God, you do it through the physical, not so much through what you say.
But we're talking about, what will fear make you do? Will fear make you go against what you stand for?
Yes.
Whether you go against it verbally or physically.
Yes. Fear will make you go against what you believe in. Like if you like for everyone listening on here, right? We all know that. You know, even whether you have good or bad license, right? When the red and blue lights get behind you, the fear comes to you no matter what, whether you did good or nothing, whether you did nothing or not. The fear comes to your heart.
I think, too, you want me saying something? I think also, too, it all depends on where you are at in God, too, you know, whether fear affects you or not, because if the only thing you fear is the Lord, how can other stuff affect you? Impossible. I mean, just like you said, don't fear anything that can harm the body, but fear the one that can do something to the soul. I mean, nothing in this world can do nothing to your soul. Only thing that can do something to your soul is God. So why should you fear anything else?
So that's like saying, like, if you really believe the word like you say,
nothing should,
really,
should fear
you. No fear or nothing said to you will make you really bow down to it.
Right.
You know, exactly.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. If you really believe the God that you say in the scriptures, regardless of what man or anybody says to you, if you really believe,
you won't fear nothing.
You really won't do it. The only reason why you'll do what that person telling you to do is because you doubt and you let fear take over. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why fear came in the first place is because of doubt.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I agree to that.
You know what I'm saying? And that's something. A lot of times, you know, we hear the word of God, you know, we hear the preachers preach, they sweat, you know, we praise God, you know, we dance, we, you know, roll around, do whatever. But a lot of times when you're put in a situation that you're used to seeing other people in, not until you're in that situation will your faith truly be challenged.
True.
You know what I'm saying? It's easy to go visit someone else in the hospital that got a real illness, but now if you was up in the hospital or somebody that's close to you, it changes the whole thing. Now what you've been, you know, reading or studying or whatever like that, now it's challenged because, like, now fear is waiting for doubt to let him in. And you know what I'm saying? And that's a whole lot of, that's a real, like, fear,
I mean,
anxiety and all types of stuff, man.
That's true. That's so true. That's true. I know firsthand. That fear ain't no joke. You know, when you in a situation where doctor tell you it's possible you can lose your sight. I mean, you was able to see all your life. And all of a sudden, it's possible that you might not be able to see again.
That's fear. That thought alone, you know, you just, wow. Yeah, and you know, like, if you're anything like me, but you know what's crazy about that?
But if you never saw before, you wouldn't be fearful of not ever seeing
it. Wow. That's how crazy life is, yo.
Like, word of God, you're really not afraid of not becoming a millionaire because you never had $1 million.
Yeah. But if you always had $1 million,
we would be afraid of not having that $1 million.
Fear of losing it.
Word is bond, you'd be in fear of losing it. And that's what life teaches us. And it's crazy. Prime example, the sandstorm. No electric, no cable, no nothing. Right?
Uh-huh.
You became dependent, and you've seen how dependent people were on those things.
Mm-hmm.
But had they never, but it's people that live with like that every day with none of that stuff, every day.
Yeah, it's their norm.
Yo, that's their normal.
Yeah. And you know what? I was just telling my, I was talking to my wife. I was like, and I was saying this weeks ago, and I was saying that, you know, one thing that will hum- that can humble the rich as well as the poor, the smart as well as the dumb. I was like, yo, if famine hit the land, everybody becomes equal in a sense where if there was nothing here left to eat, I'm talking about like nothing left, no plaque on your wall or no money in your bank could get you food if there's no food to eat.
No, oh, no, listen. That just happened. That just happened just now. You see how the grocery store was cleaned out. It was people that had money that couldn't get food in the grocery store.
That's what I'm talking
about, during the
about,
storm.
Man.
And they could, like, no matter how much money they had, they couldn't get enough generators to run their electric in their house because the electric was done.
It was gone, no matter how much money you had. And it really shows you, really, how vain things really are. How really, like, how things immediately, do you know when all the lights went out, that automatically put us back in time?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
We time traveled when that
but
happened.
But look, we were closer to God in the dark.
Yeah. But you know what? Listen, God does some of his best work in the dark. Look what he do when he put the baby, when the baby is in the womb in a dark place. Like, a lot of stuff grows.
Well, look what he did when before he said, let there be light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
God does. Listen, listen. But listen, light is for dark. Light wouldn't even be needed. It's for dark. Like, if you got a light.
That's the thing that makes it so crazy. Like,
yeah,
you don't even appreciate light until it's dark.
In other words, don't, I mean, like you saying in scripture, walk by faith and not by faith. Don't worry about, you know, what's in the natural, what you see. Just, you know, let God handle things, order your steps. You know what I'm saying?
You don't even worry about the light until you see in a dark place.
You're right about that. And listen. You don't even notice the shadows in your life until a glimpse of light hits the darkness.
What is dark? Until just a shadow of it. Because in your darkness, a lot of times people wander in their darkness. A lot of times you get further wandering in your darkness than you do with your light. Because when you can see,
yeah,
when you can see stuff, a lot of times you block your own self out.
Wow. And that's why you saying that I caught that revelation. You know the scripture where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The only reason why when you walk through the valley of death is that you see shadows is because you're the light. And when you walk through there, it's you that exposes the shadows.
Exactly.
And you really don't have to be scared of things that you expose.
No, a shadow can't hurt you.
That's what, come on, man. And a lot of times, the shadow be the reflection of your own self.
No, and remember, a shadow, if you look at a shadow is always bigger than you, too.
Yes, it is.
Your shadow is always bigger than you are. But the reality of it is that you have more power over your shadow than the shadow has over you. But that's the dominion that it, that the mental gives you to make you think that
shadow
your
don't
shadow
have,
shadow
have
power.
Any power over you.
They have no power at all. But
the
it's
only
bigger
reason
than
why
you.
I have power over you if you let fear.
If you let it.
Right, wow.
If you let fear
give
right. it power.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember, as a kid, you know, you see your shadow, you look and say, wow, what is that, you know?
See?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's something. That is so, it's something about fear, man. You know what I'm saying? And if fear, fear I had you doing some crazy stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Fear make you lose your bowels, man.
it was this guy. He stole something at a store one day, and I was in Philly. And I don't know what he stole. But anyway, he did, he didn't think anybody saw him. So the guy, you know, the guy he was like a security guard, but he wasn't dressed in a uniform. He was a regular, you know, looked like a customer. So the guy goes walk out the store. right. Guy, you know, he worked out, he was in shape, this and that, you know. So, little skinny guy with security guard, and the guy just started following him, and he just took off. And I guess he didn't realize how fast this guy was, you know, because this guy was like lightning, you know. He took off, right? But the dude, my point is, he was so scared that he overthrew himself by running. He ran so hard that he slid across the ground. He just was sliding because he overthrew himself. That fear, that adrenaline rush was just my point. That adrenaline just threw him overboard. You know what I'm saying? But that fear is serious, man. You never know what you could do until you put to the test.
Yeah, for real. Like I said this the other night, you know, they always say, you know, dead people can't hurt you, but dead people make you hurt yourself. Because,
that's true.
Yeah, because the fear, like the fear of it. And you know what it is? It's the way it looks. It's the way that death looks to the natural eye. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, like when you look at death from life.
And what's crazy is that no matter how much you cry at that funeral, if those people got up, you would be afraid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to. Far as you know, what you've known the whole time that you lived in this world.
Yeah, so like if a Lazarus blessing come in the frontal, you don't want to see that. Not in this life.
Yeah.
Like you don't want a Lazarus come forth.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. And the thing about it, even in that scripture, even when he first rose up, he still had his grave clothes on. And like,
no, Jesus had like, to say to him, like,
he
loose
to
say, him.
Like, loose him.
Yeah, like.
You know what I mean? And what that is.
Yo, because he would have scared the mess out of everybody, dog.
Yeah, man.
He would have scared everybody, man. He had to say, loose him, man. Like, let him go for a second. Let him up.
But you know how it is, of course, when you read the scriptures, even without having God in your life, that's kind of really like you are. Like, you really like a zombie walking around. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know, you really like, you know, spirit. Come looking at it from a spiritual point of view, it's like being a zombie because zombies walk around with no direction. They just walk, and they just exist with no purpose. You know what I'm saying? Just using it as, you know, but God is a God. Under him, he gives you direction. He gives you purpose. He gives you an assignment. And since he gives you that, that is why, you know, wickedness or whatever you want to call it uses fear to detour you from, you know, reaching that place in your life. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, man, it's really not no one else. It be us. We become our own enemy. The way we
false
think.
False evidence appearing real, they say. False evidence appearing real. Fear.
It, but you know what? Sometimes the evidence is real. Like,
yeah,
it exists. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it is. Because right now, if someone smacks you, right, and they knock, like, 5 teeth out your mouth with a smack.
But I mean, I go back to what you said before. Don't fear the one that can harm the body. But fear the one that
But like I was saying, it's still hard to do that when you feel the 5 teeth being knocked out your mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's still kind of hard to, like, you know what I mean, not put your mind somewhere else and to not think that you're feeling what you're feeling. And that's what makes it hard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it hard because we still in the flesh and we still living, you know, in the earth realm. You know what I mean? Like a lot, like one show I was talking about, say if someone gets up and they go to church and they just did something. They just robbed a bank or they just killed somebody or they just did something. And they go to the altar and they say, Lord, forgive me, please, Lord, save me. And God saves them. But you know what? What they just did still just, it just happened. It's not like when you get saved or you go to Christ or whatever that the deeds that you've done don't exist no more. It still happened.
Well,
if you put 2 bullets in somebody before you went to the altar, those 2 bullets don't disappear when you go to the altar. And that's a lot of times what I was saying is a lot of times, you know, we hide behind religion or we hide behind prayer or we hide behind, you know, church, and we never confront or deal with the issues that we ran from.
Wow.
But here's the thing about that. That's crazy. Because the thing is, the issue is not with the issue of being saved and being delivered and all of that stuff is not about man. God, see, what has happened is the church has made it about man. So that's why they assume that when you do that, that it automatically dissipates you from the actual act of things that you do.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. What it does is, but it fixes you with the Christ, though, because that's what the word said. That if we believe that, what we believe. Doesn't change the physical being of what you did or your actual thing. That's like somebody doing something to you and then they saying, I'm sorry. It don't change the fact that they just did what they did to you.
Hey, Jay, do you fear death?
Say that again?
Do you fear death?
In my carnal mind?
No, either yes or no.
No, I'm giving you the answer. In my carnal mind, yes. But in the hope of my faith, no.
Okay, now, in your carnal mind, why do you fear death? Why?
Because of what it looks like, what it smells like, what you've seen it look like in others. And if you ever seen a dead body or you've seen someone murdered or you've seen someone stabbed thousands of times or shot up or hit by a car.
No, I'm going to tell you why you fear death. Because it looks like the end. Word up. That's why we fear death. Because nobody's ever came back and told us that it's not the end.
But not only
that. The only one that ever told us that was Jesus, yo. You know, he's the only one that ever got up and came back. Out of millions and millions and millions of people that's died in life, only one person has got up and came back. That's deep, dog. Like, when you really think about this, right? Out of the billions of people that's died in this world, only one person has known and got up.
Well, not really, because Jesus
Lazarus,
dead too.
I mean, he's raised the dead. But I'm talking about have got up from the sting of death without being raised up.
got up on his own power.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, the thing about it, when you think about, even when you just think about death, right, you fear it's the end, it's over. But not only that, you fear the journey of it.
I mean, say, I think it comes into play, too, when you think about not so much the death part, when you think about how I'm going to die.
Yeah, not knowing
hit
when.
By a train,
you talk,
a truck,
think
whatever.
About this, though, dude. What is so crazy, though? When you really look at life and death, right, death looks better than life, really.
Say that again?
Death really looks better than life.
Really?
You gotta give me a parable with that one.
I'm about to tell you why.
I see that.
Think about this, right? Huh? Hold on.
Yeah, I'm like, he gotta explain that one right there.
Yeah. I don't see how that death one look better than life. Life is, the Bible speaks about death and life, you know, all through the Bible. I mean, you only can live through his word. You know, his word is life. That's a good thing.
Yes, but, yeah, it says, yes, I understand that, right? But if it says to live is to die, and to die is to gain. So, actually, death is better than life. But man has made it and switched it. Yo, think about this. It wasn't until Jesus died, that the good things started happening.
No, I understand what you're saying. It is, to die is to gain. To die is to gain. But that concept can only be done through faith and through blind faith.
Wow.
The concept of that.
So what you're saying is that the Bible's lying then?
No, I'm not saying that it's lying, but for it to become truth to you, you have to have faith in it.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
because
I like the way you put that. Like, you have to have a truth to you, like, in order for it to be a truth to you.
Yeah, you have to have faith in it because
yeah.
You can't tell me that you being with your wife and with your children and laughing and going on trips to look at death as better than that.
But
to see, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Once again, death don't cost you nothing.
Yeah. No, but it all depends. And again, it all depends.
And then you'll be with Jesus. You'll be with Jesus.
See, that's the hope. That's the hope of faith. That's the hope
right.
of glory.
You know what's crazy?
Hope almost sounds like doubt a little bit.
Faith in substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. You got to have
yeah.
faith.
You want to know why you hope and you have faith? Because really you have no physical evidence.
Hope makes you time out. Like, I hope so.
You crazy. you a shout out, man. But you know what, though? For real, listen. It helps the Christian to hope.
faith.
Without hope and faith, and you only got the thought and the end result.
No, we have to have hope.
No,
we have to have hope, bro. Without no hope, man, you're paralyzed, man. Most people die. A lot of people kill themselves because they don't have no hope.
Because you, but if all you have is hope. Because
you don't even listen.
You don't have any.
You don't even have to have faith. You don't even have to necessarily have faith and have hope, right? And your hope will tag on to a little bit of faith. Like, your hope will develop your faith.
Well,
you know what
both of them are a bridge that you cross over.
They're bridges.
Hope,
yes.
And faith.
Yes.
You need both of them.
Yes.
They are bridges.
So that's
bridge
why I say
that we
faith,
cross over.
Love, hope, and charity, right? These
mm-hmm.
three.
But you can hope all you want, but if you have no faith, if you're going to have that or get it, whatever,
exactly.
That's going to happen.
Exactly.
You got to have faith.
A lot of these preachers just hoping.
Faith is the substance.
You're right.
Before,
with no faith.
The evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance of what you're hoping
right.
on. So
it's
what
substance.
You're hoping
you
on, what you're hoping on, faith becomes the tangible thing that you can stand on, even
right.
though you can't see it or touch it or feel it.
That's right.
So that's why faith is so much needed. Without faith, if you don't have faith, the whole Christian faith or believing in Christ or whatever from that angle is demolished.
That's right.
It's demolished. And that's the thing right now. That's why you got so many different scientists or, you know, atheists or whatever, and not, you know, calling nobody out or anything like that. But normally Christianity is the faith or religion that is constantly attacked because normally you have no physical evidence to prove why you believe what you believe. You just believe what you believe because it's in the Word of God, in the Bible, in the faith of others that witness to you of that God, and then you tried him for yourself, and now you believe. You know what I'm saying, Bill? That's something, man. That's so deep, man. That's so deep.
Yeah, that's deep.
So let me ask you this, man. What would you say, like, you know, you've been to church or, you know, you've been in different churches and things like that. Let's say, what would you say, what type of fears right now would you say would be keeping someone from going to church?
That they're going to ask for money? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, since you mentioned money, it goes back to a fear, too, because now, normally, when you don't want to give money, it's the fear that you're not going to have none by giving.
Yeah, exactly.
So fear plays its part in a lot of things, man. In a lot of things, man. Seriously, it's a big time thing, man. That when it's dealing with fears,
they call fear the great motivator. It's two things that can motivate you in life, really, and that's fear and money. Them two things.
Like they say, back a mutt up in the corner. You're scaring, back him up in the corner. Something might happen to you.
Oh yeah, he gonna hurt you.
He gonna hurt you. Because like now, fear to him gives him no other option. But now I gotta do what I gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What I got to do. And I believe, man, like when it says the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, I believe really it's not like God wants you to walk around like, oh, like, you know, like he's a ghost and for you to be like that. But it's the part of reverencing him. It's the part
right.
of realizing who he is, how much power he has, and give him his due respect. You know what I'm saying? For the one that you're still breathing because he allowing you to keep existing. So why wouldn't you fear that? If that's using true wisdom. This is God Almighty the creator of all. I'm nothing but the creation. He's the creator. So I should fear him more than I fear anything in creation if he's the creator.
Right.
And
right.
I believe a lot of times we get it around because we fear the creation more than the perception of God or who God truly is. Mm. We fear what we can see, you know what I mean, more than what we can't see with our natural eyes. And, you know, that's when it goes back. We're not supposed to actually walk by sight. We're supposed to walk by faith. So it's almost like become blind so you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Become blind in your natural eyes so that you can see spiritually. And I believe, you know, that's what God really wants from us in this time, man, you know, to actually begin to confront some fears, use the fears, and not let the fears use us, or not let the fears use us to manipulate us, to create false things in our life. But go ahead, you can say what you were saying.
No, I won't say. I was just sitting here thinking about what actually went through Daniel's mind when he was in the den with the lion. You know, just how scared was he? You know, what was his first thoughts?
Wow.
You know, that's fear.
Come on, lions. And me, I watch the Wildlife Channel. I love watching, like, wildlife stuff with animals. And, like, I've been watching that since I was small. And to actually know what an animal, what a lion can do to you. And not only being in there with one lion, just what one lion can do to you.
Yeah.
But when I was reading that, too, a lot of people say the lion's den. But when I read it, it said he was in a den of lions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. It might mean the same thing, but to me, it was really truly letting me know it was lions really in there, man. And
right, right, right.
You know
right,
what I mean? It was a den of lions. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was in there, and it was more than one, and to be surrounded by that. But it boils down to this, man, being in God, man. Are we really going to trust him the way we say we do? We quote all these scriptures, man. We hear all these messages. We say, Lord, use me. I'll be satisfied any way you use me. You know, all these different messages, great messages to motivate us and to take us from one place to another place. But when temptation truly comes in your life, do you allow fear to keep you from promise?
You're right.
Are we really blaming? Is it the preacher that we really blaming? We're blaming the preacher because he said this, or he said the word says this for our life. And if you obey this word, this will happen for you. If you follow these principles, this will be in your life. But is it really our fault because we really allowing fear in our mind to keep us from truly receiving God's word and truly believing it and trusting it without doubt at all? Because doubt opens the door for fear.
Wow.
And I believe a lot of times, man, it's doubt that is welcoming fear in our lives.
Doubting yourself.
And we're really not trusting God the way we really say that we do. We sing all these great songs that sound great. That sound great. Take us into worship, praise, whether you want to call a worship song, a slow song, and a praise song, a fast song, or however you look at it. And we look at that, and we go to church Sunday after Sunday. Lord, anoint me. Lord, bless me. One preacher tell you to hold on. The other preacher tell you to let go. Like, we hear all these different stuff, words. But do we really, man? And everybody out there that might be listening, I just need you to ask yourself this question. Do you really trust God the way you say, or the way the Bible expects us to? Do we really believe God to be God? Or are we believing God through the perception of our mother and father and grandparents? But do we personally trust God for real? Because a lot of times, man, my thing is like this. If you truly trust God, and I'm not saying this, this is to myself too. If we truly trust God, why do we worry so much?
That's true.
Why are we so frustrated in our ministry so much? If we truly trust God, when he says, let not your heart be troubled, worry not. Don't, what are you worrying for? And my thing is, if we truly have God the way we say we have God, what else do we really need? If we really have God, I'm talking about if we really have the God that created the earth, created the moon, all the stars, created oxygen for us to breathe, created water for us to drink, created cattle, vegetables, everything for us to eat, all different types of stuff. That God, if we really have that God in our hearts, bro, man, why are we worrying? Why are we really complaining? Like, why do we have to be motivated so much when we go to the house of worship? Why
lack
we gotta
of faith.
Be pumped up?
Because that lack of faith.
I don't believe. I'm gonna tell you, man. We don't believe like we really say we do. Because the first sign of trouble, we renege on the word that we've been preaching.
Mm-hmm.
We go against everything. And you know what? It's so quick to encourage someone else. It's so easy to tell a person that may be sick to hold on when you're not sick. Trust God when you're
right.
not sick.
God's a healer, and you haven't been healed yet.
And you haven't been healed yet.
Yeah.
It's so easy. But now when you find yourself in that situation, now doubt. Is ready to let fear in. And when fear comes in, fear wants to kick out love. It removes faith. It wants to destroy hope. It wants to remove joy. It wants to remove peace. Fear comes to remove all of those things. And we let it because we don't believe God the way we say we do, or the way we supposed to. And that's something, man, even it's 2012, it's November. You know what I mean? We're going into, tomorrow be November the 3rd. And if anyone is out there listening, it's 2012. Pretty soon we'll be going into another year, 2013. And this is for those that believe in God, or say they believe in God, or say they have God in their life. I believe this is a time for us to truly examine our perception of God and truly examine our trust in God and truly be honest with yourself. Do I really believe God? Or do I only believe him when it's convenient for me to believe him? Or do
so,
I believe? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't cut you off. I just have a question for you, Megan. Answer. So, my question is fear of God? Because the word says that he delights in the ones that fear him. But is it a fear of is it of God though?
What scripture is that?
I forget what it was. Hold on a second.
If you could find it, because before I want to actually read it.
I know it's in Proverbs. I can't think. Hold on a second.
You said it's in Proverbs?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to try to find it right here, right on the air. We're going to try to find it. I know one says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Of the holy is understanding. Hold up. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. 147:11.
Proverbs?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Here we go. Go ahead, read it.
Oh, no, I don't have them. I just got the scripture. I don't have it in front of me, though.
Proverbs, the first chapter?
147:11.
What you said, Proverbs 147?
Yeah.
Well, you mean Psalms?
No, the Proverbs.
It's not 147 chapters in Proverbs.
I'm sorry. Hold a second. Hold on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of scriptures dealing with fear of the Lord. And I believe it's a wise thing. You know what I mean? To fear, to acknowledge him. It makes us better. It makes us greater with that fear. It helps us to avoid the different snares that are set for us in this life. That tries to keep us stuck, man. The fear of the Lord will, if you really truly fear the Lord, you will avoid a lot of pitfalls in life. You know what I mean? Listen to this scripture. This is Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you put your fear, when you fear man, it's best to fear God. It's the fear of man brings a snare in your life. But when you fear and trust, in God, man, it's a place of safety. And what better place, man, to be safe in God, to be safe in Christ?
Well, you're right, it was Psalms, I'm sorry, 147.
And 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's go a little deeper with that. Let me see if I can find this thing right here.
He said he takes pleasure in those who fear him, but then he said fears of the devil, though. I'm confused. Is not of God.
But you got to understand, when I said fear, we're talking about fear and reverence. It's just like this. If you are a father and you have children, right, and you set rules in your house, and you set a standard in your house, and your children know those standards, right?
Right.
And they break them or they do something, it is normally a fear in them of what the consequence would be. So they look at Father. We're talking about that fear. Not the fear that would bring you away from God, but the fear that brings you closer to him. The fear of acknowledging him as the Father in respect
A respectful fear, in other words. Well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, in that way. And you got to understand, man, God is the creator of everything. And you know what? Hold on. We're gonna read this one scripture because we got a few more minutes here live on the air, man. And since it's me and you on the air here, man, I don't want you to hang up. I want you to stay on here with me for the rest of the show. So hold up. I'm gonna read this one right here. I believe, and this is something people. Hold up. Where is the scripture? Oh, man. What is that scripture, man? I think it's right here. Let me find it. Here you go. I think this is it. You know where it says, this is John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Wow.
Right there alone. Like, ain't nothing was made that was me without him.
He's the creator of everything.
He's the creator.
Right.
He's the creator of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the dude Nico who called in that night and he was saying, listen, you can't escape God. God is everything. Mm-hmm. You can never get away from God. And this is looking at it even deep, but it's true. You might be sitting on a chair right now that's made out of wood. You're sitting on God. You want to know why? Because God created the tree. God created everything. You wouldn't even be able to sit on that chair if God didn't create wood, the tree.
So my question is, so God created fear then?
God created everything. It's nothing. And just like, listen, fear has its place, though. Just like you should have a fear in you, in common sense, not to walk in front of a car that's moving. Fear in that situation is good because it keeps you from doing something foolish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So fear can help you make a wise choice. But the thing about fear, when it comes, when you got to watch as, when fear takes you away from God, when you let fear take you away from praising God, when you let fear take you away from worshiping God, when you let fear keep you from loving because you're holding on to the bitterness of past hurt and different relationships. So now you have a fear of loving again.
So in other words, it's okay to fear God, but don't fear man.
Don't fear man.
Right, okay.
Don't fear man. Especially when you let the fear of man take you away from the love of God. And that's something that we can't do. We can't do those things. Listen, man, we faced with different angles, man, different levels of fear every day. If you look on the news every day and you was just to meditate on every episode of news that you've heard all day and you just read papers, mothers killing their children, fathers killing their family, people getting shot in churches, young people just killing each other after time. This one molesting that person. That one molesting this person. This person stealing from the church. This person robbing the church. This person breaking in this house. This person robbing this bank. This general is committing mass genocide in this country, killing thousands and thousands of people, killing, just killing, just wickedness and more wickedness and more sin. People in Haiti, when the earthquake took place, and then the prisoners broke out and they went into all the tents and they constantly raped the women, took over the tents, all this type of stuff that's still existing and just going on. And if you just let all of that stuff get caked and cluttered in your mind, you would live in a chaotic world.
Right.
That's why God gives us peace in the midst of the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get peace without the word of God. God is the word. He is peace. He is peace. And through him, we can find peace and have a sound mind in the midst of all the fear and chaos that is hovering over our lives.
That's right.
And go ahead.
I'm saying, and without faith, you can't have none of that.
No. You can't have none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have none of that. So my whole thing on this show, man, surviving the fears of the mind, we have survived a lot of the fears of the mind because we've lived from this time to this time, and we're still here. We're still fighting, and we're fighting in this life. We're dealing with different struggles that we go through in life. You know, we're dealing with it, and we're surviving different fears. But the main thing tonight, if anybody would get anything, is not to allow fear to destroy your faith in God. Don't let fear eat away your faith like a cancer.
And you asked a question earlier about what fears keep you think is keeping certain people from the church. What fear do you think that's keeping certain people away from the church?
I'm going to tell you, you know what it is? I believe some of the fears with some people who were once in church, who were out of church, I believe some people have a fear of failing God again.
Wow. I like that. That's true.
You know, they failed God before. So their fear, the fear of failing him again is keeping them stuck where they are. But they need to realize that they need to try to let go of that fear, because God is a God, he's a deliverer. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of grace and mercy. And the longer we hold on to those fears, we use that fear as an excuse to stay away from God. We use whoever hurt me in church. People always talk about, oh, church hurt. Ain't nothing like church hurt. This is the worst hurt. Really, I don't look at church hurt as church hurt. I mean, you want to know why? I look at that as people hurting you. People hurt you.
They do to you what you allow.
The Bible says, God said his church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell, like God's church is victorious. The church that he calling out and that he's summoning together, the ecclesia, those that are called out and summoned together, that is a victorious church. And that is not a church that is bound by fear and mistakes. That is a church that, listen, if I mess up, I repent. But with every breath in my body, I'm going to keep pressing. I don't care what happens, I'm going to keep pressing and pushing because I have no other option. I am the church, not the building.
You think that type of church exists?
Yeah, you want to know why that church? Yeah, that church exists. But you won't see the name on a building. That church has to begin personally in the individual. The individual is the church. In me connected with another person, we become the church. We become the church, but it starts with the individual first. It's not the actual building where we go at.
Right.
It's just a building until we get there. When we get there, that's when it becomes the church. We are called out. That building is not called out. And I believe when we really start focusing on us as individuals, I am the church. So let me better me. Instead
right.
of going to a church house and complaining about others and what you don't like and what you see, I believe the focus should be on yourself. And like I said
right.
earlier in the show, the word of God is the mirror to show you yourself. It's to show you the ugliness of yourself so that
mm-hmm.
you can beautify yourself according to the word of God. And the longer you keep going into the house of God, expecting to hear a word but never studying the word for yourself, never putting that mirror to your face and looking
mm-hmm.
at yourself. Because listen, man, if you never look in the word of God as a mirror, you'll never know what your true identity is. You'll go around here thinking you look one way when you really look a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God exposes the true person. It exposes who you truly are when you read it and when you get into it. And I'm telling here to tell you, you'll read the word and the word will whoop you. Because
right.
you'll start to see yourself and you'll know and realize how low of standards you're living your life.
Mm-hmm.
How
I think too. But what does it help too when you go to church too and everybody got these fancy cars and you may not have you might be taking the bus to church, you know, and then you have a big amount of money in the plate or in the offering and tell the person to stand up or they might give $1,000. I mean, all that can create some fear within you though because you don't measure up.
Yeah, but see that there it goes again. Now you're trying to measure up to man, and you can't measure up to man. You know what I mean? You can't measure yourself up to man. You have to know God and realize that you are the church and get in his word to find your true identity. Because when you find who you truly are and your true identity and what your purpose is, it doesn't matter what anyone else says about you or to you because you know who you are. Whether they lie on you or whatever, you know who you are. And it won't move you because you know your identity. The only reason why a lot of people are being moved in this season is because they really don't know their true identity. They're living their life in a false identity.
Mm.
They're walking around, they're praising, they're clapping their hands, they're singing, but they're doing it all in a false identity.
Yeah, I saw this one guy today. He was a Muslim. He said something that was interesting about, you know, about how their services go. He said, "What I think is a good idea. They don't take offerings up in the church. What they do is they have a box outside the church, and as you leave, you put the money in the box, and no one pressures you to put money in the box or make you feel inadequate because you didn't do this that Sunday or that. You know, it's up all up to you what God puts in your heart, how he directs you to give." And I think that's the way it should be because that eliminates a lot of fears that we have because we didn't, you know, we couldn't do this week because we had to pay this bill, this and that and that. You know what I'm trying to say?
But you know something, man, what it really boils down to when it comes to your money, if you want something from the mall or you want something, whatever you like, you're going to spend it and you're not going to even look at that thing as robbing
mm-hmm.
because you want it. My thing is like this, man. You got to get in God and you know what you can give and you know what you got. What you want to give. And I don't think you should ever look at when you give to God as you being robbed. I believe when you hold back, you got to look at it like you're robbing God. But I feel as though like this, never be manipulated to give. When you give, make sure you give with a cheerful heart, whatever the amount may be.
Right.
But
right.
never let man manipulate you or make you feel less than because, nah, come on, you can't do that. But you know something, bro? Listen, I enjoyed this conversation, man. I appreciate you for being on the line with me. And to everyone out there, this is Minister Jay Miller. I love all of y'all. I thank all of y'all for calling in. And I truly appreciate everyone that tunes in to Dirty Church Radio. Right now, we're about to go off the air live, but I'm going to be on the line. So if you call in, I could put you in for a few seconds. Off the air, but it won't be live. God bless you all. Until the next time. Hello, caller. So Someone just called in from a 423 number. Hello?
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 Hi. Hey,
Mom.
How you doing?
Okay. Oh, good, 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 good. How you doing?
All right. Okay.
How's
I just
everything?
I want to let you know everything is good. Your little ones are sleeping.
Oh, thanks, Mom. I appreciate
that. Yeah, they had a good time.
That's great. That's so great.
Okay.
You enjoyed the show?
Yes, I did.
That's a blessing.
I always do.
I thank God for that, Mom. I appreciate
that.
All
right.
How are you?
God bless you.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
Thanks
for
tuning in.
To all your friends, I said God bless them.
God bless you.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay.
Yo, Bill, man, I appreciate you for being on the air with me tonight, man. Listen, man, I really do, man. I hope I've got something out of this conversation tonight.
Definitely. Where everybody at, though? Who called in tonight?
Yeah, you know, life, man. You know, some people, electricity is still out.
Some people,
you know what I mean, are, you know, trying to, you know, do the family thing.
Get food
and, you know, stuff like that. So a lot of people are still feeling the grunt of this. The hurricane. But I'm thanking God that we got electricity, that we were still able to, you know, go on the air.
Amen.
Because even on Monday, mine went out for like 2 hours, and then the next day it went out for like a half hour.
Wow.
But I still thank God that, you know, I could have been one of the ones who was out the whole week. A few of my friends now, their electricity is still out, and they're saying they might not be on until sometime next week.
Wow, that's crazy.
And they've been out since Monday, man. So this thing is really affecting a lot of people.
Yeah, we blessed, though, man, because nothing happened here. Where are we at? Nothing at all.
I thank God, man. And I'm going to tell you, though, even they said, though, don't drink the regular water, though.
Oh, no, I don't drink that. I drink spring water.
Yeah, spring water. Even right now, I would even advise you, even if you're brushing your teeth, don't even use the sink water. Use, like, the bottled water
you're right, to get things right.
Until they get things right, man. And I say that to all the listeners out there, too. My wife, she works for the Environmental Protection Building, and they sent out a mass thing to boil your water. If you're going to drink it, make sure you boil it.
Okay.
Boil your water. So boil your water and put it in a clean container, stuff like that. So boil your water, whatever you use it for. They say you can still take a shower and stuff like that, wash up, but don't let water enter into your mouth, like where you're swallowing it, where it can get in your system.
I didn't know that. Wow. Thanks for letting me know that, man.
Yeah. So that's for everyone out there that may be listening on this right here. But that's something. So spread that word too, man.
Okay.
Spread that word if you can. You know, call your family and friends just in case they don't know that, you know, boil the water.
Okay.
Before you use it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But listen, bro, be blessed, man. We'll be back on the air Sunday night. We're off tomorrow, but we'll be back on the air Sunday night. 8 o'clock prime time. So, listen, be blessed, and I'll be giving you a call, man.
All right. Have a good night. All right.